comes from Philemon, verse to 20 verse. Paul, prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Ophelia, our sister, and to Archibius, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty. Yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love, and I, Paul, do this as an old man and now the prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I want to keep him with me so that he might be a service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he had wronged you in any way or owed you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about you owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you and the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confidence of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. So send you greetings.
So, when you were looking at your bulletin and you saw the sermon title, did your eyebrows go up? Again now? Okay. Well, let me start off by answering the question. Yes. God is pro-choice. But I'm not assigning that characteristic to the issue with which we most commonly relate it. This is not a sermon that wants to jump feet first into a political fire. I'm talking about your faith and discipleship. I would venture to say that almost everyone here is here by choice. Maybe there's a couple of kids, even a couple of husbands or wives who were made to come. But most of you are here because you chose to come. You could have been somewhere else, mowing your yard, golfing, sleeping in, but you are here. The government did not compel you. The state does not enforce worship attendance and participation as a mandate. It's not a city ordinance. You chose to be here. Now, I will bet, at least for a few of us, there are those moments when you do consider doing something else, being somewhere else. There are lots of opportunities and activities in life that tempt us and compete for our time. At the beginning of the sermon, I said, yes, God is pro-choice, and what I meant was related to our faith. It's not so much that God wants it to be this way, it simply is this way. God gave us minds with which to think, question, and choose. God may give us the gift of faith, but it's up to us to use it. It's up to us to cultivate our relationship with the Lord through worship and prayer. It's up to us to try to follow the teaching and example of our Savior, to be a faithful disciple. Maybe you recall in last week's gospel reading, Jesus acknowledges the element of choice. But more than that, he acknowledges and embraces the idea that we have to choose whether or not we want to be his followers. Recall he has the imagery or the story of a person who who starts to build a building without calculating the cost, or a leader who certainly isn't going to wage war without discerning first if they have the manpower and the abilities, a chance to win. He's saying that he wants us to be informed and to make an informed choice as to whether we follow Jesus or not. Only foolish people jump into something without thinking it over first. And it's not just in that one passage. There are numerous places in the scripture where we see God allowing persons to choose, to decide. Sometimes for the better, sometimes not. Just like us. God gives us the freedom and the abilities to choose so that the decision and the commitment is real. Part of the reason for this is, as you may have already figured out, following Jesus is no walk in the park. Being a faithful follower isn't and won't be the easiest thing you've ever done in your life. Choosing what's right can even be excruciating in the short term. And if anyone ever preaches to you the gospel of prosperity, I know you recognize it when you see it and hear it, the idea that if you put your faith in God, you'll be rich, all will go your way, you'll have everything you ever wanted. If anyone preaches this to you, run in the opposite direction, because it's a lie. It's not biblical, and chances are the next words that will come out of your mouth will be that you must show that faith by giving them a bunch of your money and your resources. The reality is, life is not easy. Choice isn't easy. Heck, you should see me at a restaurant. Sometimes it would take me 10 or 15 minutes to decide what to order for one meal in my whole life. But this choice, whether or not to follow Jesus, has a far greater and more lasting impact on my life than whether I get a guacamole bacon burger or chicken fajitas. There's a part of me, maybe there's a part of you, that longs for simplicity. This part of me has wondered in the past, why God didn't just make us faithful, take the choice and the confusion away for us? And I remember that because of who God is and how God has made us, that just isn't possible. God isn't a tyrant or a dictator. God is not a puppet master, and we are not puppets. God is a loving creator. God has given us talents and abilities and hearts and minds. God desires to be in relationship with us. God loves us and wants our love in return. But all of this is predicated upon the necessity that we must first be able to choose. For if it is forced, it is not faithfulness. If it is mandatory, it is not discipleship. If it is compelled, then it is slavery and not relationship or love. Our freedom is key. You know, we see a similar understanding in the book of Philemon. Those are some hard words and names to pronounce. You did a great job, by the way. Paul is writing to a fellow Christian, Philemon, and he is asking him to welcome Onesimus back, not as a repentant runaway slave, but as a fellow Christian and a brother. Paul asks him to give him his freedom, embrace his family, and then let him go and return to Paul, where he can care for Paul in prison in his old age. Now, Philemon does not have to do this. He could have put Onesimus back to work, imprisoned him, or had him killed, and no one could have said a thing about it. And Paul was only asking through a written letter. It's not as if he was going to be standing looking over his shoulder to make sure that he did it. Philemon had a choice to make. And Paul asked him to make the right one. even though no one would be watching, even though to keep his possession would be within his legal right, even though to set him free meant in that economic system that he was giving up some of his wealth and assets, Philemon was asked to make choices, just as we are. Now, I'm not one who goes in for fear and scare tactics. I'm not the kind of preacher to pound the pulpit and tell you that you better choose Jesus or you're going to go straight to hell. To me, that is an act of manipulation. And usually, it doesn't make for a lasting relationship of disciples and faith in God. We must choose. We must decide for ourselves to follow Jesus. And it's not a decision that's just made once and we're done. There's a delightful movie I enjoy very much. It was made approximately 10 years ago. It's called Keeping the Faith. It starts as a relationship between three kids who refer to themselves as two Mix and you. It's an Irish boy, an Irish girl, and a Jewish boy, and they are the best of friends in Manhattan. Well, in junior high, the young girl moves away, but the boys remain very close friends as they grow into adulthood and become a rabbi and a Catholic priest. And in their adult lives, their dear friend returns, a high-powered businesswoman, beautiful and just as wonderful as they remembered her. There's a scene in this movie that I find rich with both humor and meaning. The young priest has fallen in love with his childhood friend, and he thinks that he might want to leave the priesthood for her. Last time, friends in the back to cue it up. That's all right. Y'all go ahead and stop it. I'll just tell you the scene since we're having technical difficulties. As I say, the young man thinks that he might want to leave the priesthood for this girl. Little does he know that she is falling in love with the rabbi. The young priest is very confused. He's sitting in a room in the rectory next to a fireplace, and he's talking with the older priest with whom he shares the parish responsibilities. The older priest tells him of how he once fell in love with a beautiful woman back in Hungary before World War II, and how since then he'd fallen in love at least once every decade. He said nothing ever came from any of those relationships. But he says something to the young priest that is true for each of us. He says that you have to recognize that this choice, this commitment that you make, is one that you keep making over and over and over again. Each day, you are making a choice, consciously or not. The question to ask yourself is not whether or not you will make a choice, but what choice will you make? What choice am I making? Am I choosing to live for the things of this world that may glitter but fade? Am I choosing to base my life and meaning and desires upon things that end, that die, break, rust, run out, or come out with newer versions of it constantly? Or am I, despite the cross, choosing to live for Christ? Trust in Him when He says, I am with you always, knowing that through the peaks and the valleys and the plains, God is ever present. You have a choice to make, and it has to be that way. It's yours and yours alone. Now I will ask you, as Joshua said to the people in the Old Testament, choose this day whom you will serve.